Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. In the last two shiurim, we read the Rambam's introduction to the Mishneh Torah and explained, based on his own words, why he wrote it. We highlighted two features of the Mishneh Torah which make it special and very worthwhile and rewarding to study, namely its scope, covering all of Torah Shebaal Peh, and its clarity of presentation, with all the material on one topic organized in one place, presented in a logical and sequential manner, with division into chapters for each subtopic. But clarity and brevity come at a cost, and that cost is the feature of the Mishneh Torah which we will focus on today. In order to make its presentation as simple and clear-cut as possible, the Rambam did not provide sources for anything he wrote, nor did he mention, except in relatively isolated cases, the existence of alternate opinions. The first to object to this format was the Ravid, someone we will encounter constantly as we learn the Mishneh Torah, and so we briefly explain who he was. Rav Avram ben David from the city of Paskir. The acronym of his name is Resh Aleph Bet Dalid, Ra'avad, usually pronounced in Ashkenazi circles as Ravid. About a decade older than the Rambam, was a leading Talmud Chacham in Provence, an area which is now southern France, but which at the time was a distinct kingdom and represented a distinct halachic culture from the French school of the Balei HaTosfot. He was very prolific, and even though we don't have his chidushim on many parts of Shas, he is often quoted by other Rishonim. We do have other halachic works of his, including the Balei HaNefesh, a treatise on the laws of Nida and Mikvaot, as well as a commentary on the Sifra, the Midrash Halacha and Sefer Vayikra. He also contributed to the development of the Kabbalah. But he is most well known in the Torah world for his Hasagot, his comments on the Rambam throughout the Mishneh Torah, some of which are written in his characteristic sharp and acerbic manner. Apart from the many, many Hasagot we will learn later in the Mishneh Torah, in which the Ravid disagrees on substantive halachic matters, his very first Hasagah is here in the introduction, and in it he takes issue with the manner in which the Rambam wrote the Mishneh Torah. Let's read it inside. Amar Avraham, Sabar l'takein v'lo tikein, ki hu azav derech kol ha-mechabrim asher hayu lefanav, ki heim heviu ra'aya l'divrihem, v'katuvu hadvarim b'shem omram, v'haya lo baze to'elet gedola, ki pamim rabot ya'le alev hadayan le'asor o le'hatir, v'ra'ayato m'yakom echad, v'ilu yada ki yesh gadol m'yanu, hiflig shmuato l'dat acheret haya chozer bo, v'ata lo eida, Lama echzor mi kabalati umeirayati bishvil chiburo shel zeh hamechaber. Im acholek alai gadol meni harei tov. V'im ani gadol menu, lama abatel dati mipnei dato. Va'od, ki yesh dvarim shagyonim cholkim zeh al zeh, v'zeh hamechaber birer divir ha'echad uktavam b'chiburo. V'lama smochani al birato v'hilo nireit be'inai, v'lo eida acholekimo im hura uilach lokim lo. The Ravid scolds the Rambam for abandoning the path of those authors who preceded him, all of whom quoted sources and proofs for their conclusions. What if, he says, a scholar reading this work finds a psak which contradicts something he learnt? How is he to determine which psak to follow? If he knew the Rambam source, he could look up the original text and determine if indeed it shows his original conclusion to be incorrect, in which case he would discard it in favor of the Rambam's psak. Or he may look up the source and decide that the text is inconclusive, in which case he may see no reason to abandon his previous tradition. But in the absence of any source, on what basis should he simply trust that the Rambam's conclusion is superior to, and more correct than, the one he previously learnt? Furthermore, the Ravid continues, there are many matters on which the Gaonim, whose works the Rambam used in writing the Mishneh Torah, disagreed among themselves as to the correct conclusion, and the Rambam chose one opinion seemingly arbitrarily. Since the Rambam didn't explain how he reached his conclusion, why should some other scholar accept it rather than some other opinion appearing in the Gaonic literature? Other Rishonim in the years soon following the Rambam, including the Ramban, the Rashba, the Rabbeinu Yonah, all from the school of Rishonim located in the northern Christian part of Spain, joined in this critique of the Mishneh Torah. In fact, the Rambam writes in a letter that he was once questioned by a Talmud Chacham about the source of a specific halacha in the Mishneh Torah, and he couldn't remember where exactly in Shas was the Gemara on which he had based his conclusion. Based on this experience, the Rambam came to regret this feature of the Mishneh Torah, and wrote that he planned to write an updated edition, with citations added to indicate the source of each halacha. Sadly, the Rambam did not get to this project during his lifetime. One of the goals in our shiurim will be to note where other Rishonim disagreed with the Rambam's conclusions and where relevant to mention which opinions are accepted lahalacha. This feature of the Rambam's work, which other Rishonim found so troubling and objectionable, led to a profound historical irony associated with the Mishneh Torah. The Rambam intended his work to be the last word. No one should need any other resource. He surely could never have imagined, when he wrote it, that anyone would write a commentary on the Mishneh Torah. But the lack of sources meant that this is exactly what happened. And writing commentaries on the Rambam even became something of an industry. The Mishneh Torah itself turned into a topic of study and analysis, as a plethora of commentators, starting shortly after the Rambam's death and continuing to the present day, worked to locate his sources in the Talmud or other rabbinic literature. Sometimes there are several opinions as to the correct source, with ramifications for how exactly the Rambam's conclusion should be understood and applied. The commentators had plenty of other work to do as well. The Rambam's conclusions in the Mishneh Torah sometimes seem to contradict those of the sugyot in the Gemara on which those conclusions are based. And even worse, the Rambam on occasion seems to contradict himself in different places within the Mishneh Torah. To give one example of this last phenomenon, the Gemara discusses in several contexts whether grapes, which are still attached to the vine, but are fully ripe and ready to be harvested, are considered in halacha the equivalent of karka, landed property like the vine itself, or metaltalin, movable property like harvested fruit. The Rambam seems to reach different conclusions on this point in different places in the Mishneh Torah, sometimes treating these as karka and sometimes as metaltalin. One can find several resolutions of this difficulty appearing in the standard commentaries. The typical edition of the Mishneh Torah one encounters today has the text of the Rambam in the middle, and all around it a slew of commentators resembling a page of Gemara. There are even more commentaries written as separate works. Nowadays, someone could learn the Rambam not as the last word at all, but just the opposite, as a primary text worthy of its own analysis based on the questions and comments of the numerous authors who wrote about it and commented on it over the centuries. This is a state of affairs which the Rambam himself would never have fathomed. The commentators on the Mishneh Torah are known collectively as the Nosei Kelim, the arms bearers of the Rambam, as they metaphorically defend him and fight on his side in the battles against those who would doubt the veracity or authenticity of his Piskei Halacha. This is a good opportunity to introduce briefly some of the major ones that we will have occasion to refer to, some quite frequently, over the course of our shiurim. Many of them, following a tradition in halachic literature which continues to this day, gave their work a name which contains the word Mishneh in it, to indicate the connection to the primary text on which they are commenting. The earliest of the Nosei Kelim is the Migdal Oz, authored by Rav Shem Tov Ibn Gaon, about a century after the Rambam's death. It is short and to the point, and usually limits himself to referring to a source for the Rambam's psak in the Gemara and responding to a sagot of the Ravid. We won't use the Migdal Oz all that much. An important commentary from around the same time is the Hagahot Maimuniot, written by the Ashkenazi Gadol Rav Meir Mirotenberg, who quotes opinions from the Ashkenazi school of Rishonim, primarily the different Balei HaTosfot, when they differ from the Psakim of the Rambam. The Magid Mishneh, written by Rav Vital of Toulouse, was written about 150 years after the Rambam's death, in the mid-1300s, and is generally considered the most important of the Nosei Kelim. Aside from providing sources and responding to Hasagot of the Ravid, the Magid Mishneh often engages in extensive discussions of difficulties with the Rambam's Psakim, and its conclusions had great influence on later writers and were often incorporated by Poskim into halachic practice. Unfortunately, we only have the Magid Mishneh on 6 of the 14 books of the Mishneh Torah, and even on 2 of those, we only have the Magid Mishneh on part of the Sefer. We will encounter the Magid Mishneh for the first time only when we get to Sefer Zmanim, the third Sefer of the Mishneh Torah. We now jump forward about 150 years to around 1500, when there lived a number of important Nosei Kelim. Rav Yosef Kurkus, known as the Mari Kurkus, was driven out of Spain as a child during the Inquisition and became a major Talmud Chacham in Egypt and in Eretz Israel. He wrote a commentary, without any special name, just referred to as the Mari Kurkus, specifically on the books of the Mishneh Torah on which the Magid Mishneh did not write, namely those which have no practical relevance in the modern day, the books of Zra'im, Avoda, Korbanot, and Tahara, though we don't have most of his commentary on the last one. His will be an important commentary when we get to those Sfarim. Around the same time lived Rav Yosef Karo, famous as the author both of the commentary Beit Yosef on the Tour And based on that, the Shulchan Aruch, the vast halakha compendium, which remains the ultimate arbiter of Jewish law to this day. He was also born in Spain and left as a result of the Inquisition, and later he lived in Adrianople and eventually settled in Tzfat. Anyone reading through the Shulchan Aruch can see immediately how much he was influenced by the Rambam, as many of the formulations in the Shulchan Aruch are word-for-word quotes from the Mishneh Torah. However, the Shulchan Aruch did not adopt the Rambam's conclusions wholesale, and in many cases rejected the psukim of the Rambam when they seemed difficult to accept. The commentary of Rav Yosef Karo on the Mishneh Torah is called the Kesef Mishnah, and it covers all 14 books, though he tends to comment much less on books of the Mishneh Torah on which we have the Magid Mishnah. He addresses the difficulties raised on the Rambam both by the Ravid and by another contemporary of the Rambam, Rav Moshe HaKohen from Lunil, also like the Ravid from Provence. And, like other Nosei Kelim, the Kesef Mishnah locates sources in the Gemara for the Rambam's conclusions. When the Rambam's psak is difficult, he often writes at length in an attempt to explain it, and in many cases, his commentary in the Kesef Mishnah is identical to the parallel discussion in his Beit Yosef on the tour. Also from this time period is the Radvaz, Rav David ben Zimra, a major rabbinic leader of Egyptian Jewry in the early 1500s, who also eventually settled in Tzfat. He was an extremely prolific author of responsa, and penned over 10,000 of them, many of which deal specifically with difficulties in the text of the Mishneh Torah. He also wrote a commentary on the Mishneh Torah with the official title of Yikar Tiferet, but generally just known as the Radvaz. He wrote on most of the parts of the Mishneh Torah on which the Magid Mishnah didn't write, and in the standard printings of the Mishneh Torah, one typically finds the Kesef Mishnah on the upper part of one side of the page, and either the Magid Mishnah or the Radvaz, whichever one wrote on that sefer, on the other side of the page. So these three, the Kesef Mishnah, Magid Mishnah, and Radvaz, are generally considered the main Nosei Kelim on the Mishneh Torah. However, on the first two books of Hamada and Ahava, as well as later on in the book of Tahara, we have neither the Radvaz nor the Magid Mishnah, and so the Kesef Mishnah appears on both sides of the main text. Living about a generation after these last three, Rav Avram Di Bouton from Saloniki in modern-day Greece wrote the Lechem Mishnah. This covers the entire Mishneh Torah, and so is especially important on books where some of the other Nosei Kelim are lacking. While not considered as important as some of the other Nosei Kelim, the Lechem Mishnah often raises interesting and original questions and provides equally interesting and compelling answers. Commentaries on the Mishneh Torah written closer to modern times are more in the format of chidushim rather than Nosei Kelim. That is to say, they focus less on locating sources for the Rambam or addressing specific problems raised by the Ravid or others, but rather they use the text of the Mishneh Torah or a difficulty in it as a springboard for a more extensive discussion of the topic at hand. These include the Or Samech, written by Rav Meir Simcha Cohen of Dvinsk in modern-day Latvia, who lived from 1843 until 1926 and also wrote the commentary Meshe Chochma on Chumash, as well as, about a generation later, the Evan HaEzel, written by Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, a renowned Rosh Hashiva in Slutsk, Belarus, and eventually in Yerushalayim. Probably the most highly respected chidushim on the Mishneh Torah written in modern times are those of the Brisker dynasty, especially Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk and his son Rav Yitzchak Zev, the Griz, who lived the later part of his life in Yerushalayim. Both wrote their chidushim in the classic Brisker tradition of conceptual analysis, typically resolving a seeming contradiction or difficulty in the Mishneh Torah by distinguishing between two related but distinct concepts and explaining how each finds expression in the words of the Rambam. These chidushim are often very insightful, and we will try to incorporate them into our shiurim whenever time allows. Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, Rosh Hashiva at YU and a leader of American Orthodoxy, was a grandson of Rav Chaim and a nephew of the Griz. He didn't write a book of chidushim on the Mishneh Torah, but we have records of chidushim he said orally in shiurim or lectures, and we will have occasion to mention several of those. Finally, we should mention a work on the Mishneh Torah of very recent vintage. The Sefer Yad Pshuta, on about half of the Mishneh Torah, was written by Rav Nachum Rabinovich, originally Canadian, and for the last 35 years of his life, Rosh Yeshiva of the Hesder Yeshiva in Male Adumim, until his passing in 2020 at age 92. He was an expert in all of the Rambam's works, and his commentary attempts to explain the text of the Mishneh Torah in a clear and comprehensible manner in light of other works of the Rambam and works of earlier scholars like Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rif, who influenced the Rambam. With this, we've completed the first part of the Rambam's introduction to the Mishneh Torah. Through it, we discussed so far three major features of the Mishneh Torah: its scope, its clarity and user-friendly exposition, and today we focused on its format as a succinct code of law, without sources or conflicting opinions, and the resistance this engendered on the part of other Gedolim during and after the Rambam's time. But the Rambam's introduction doesn't end here, and the next part of it is a listing of all 613 mitzvot. Where did this list come from, and why is it here? What is the relationship between listing all the mitzvot and the goal of the Rambam in writing the Mishneh Torah? We'll address these questions in detail in our next shiur.